Hey, we welcome back to the show, David Murata, the president of Murata Wealth Management. Today, the burden of government taxation and spending. So, David, tax day is on Friday. You know, I despise not so much paying the taxes, although I don't like paying them. I despise in some ways even more. I mean, I realize I have to pay some taxes, but I despise even more the process, the hoops that I have to jump through in order to even pay my taxes and how expensive it is and all the games I have to play.
Yeah, and for business owners, it's even more expensive than it is for normal people. Normal people pay a few hundred dollars for their taxes. Business owners pay usually around $5,000 or $6,000, if they have any kind of complex business dealings that are going on, just to have their taxes filled out correctly. And it's a requirement, because who can divine the tax code? I love the tax services that have their thing on the television, their advertisements, and it's got someone who says, you know, you don't need to be a rocket scientist to fill out your taxes. And it's always like, well, what's the question? Did you buy a house? Well, did you? Yes. Well, then press yes, you did buy a house. But inevitably, that's not the way the tax code works. The tax code usually is something like, do you have qualified deductions for taxable distributions on retirement assets that are not part of a qualified plan?
And so My head's already exploding from that question.
And then you try to look up what any of the definitions are and say, well, the helpful definition is, well, if you have qualified distributions, then you should check yes. And they're completely unintelligible to the normal person. And what you think of as normal definitions of words actually don't apply in the tax code. And that's why there are CPAs, and that's why the CPA has stacks and stacks of returns around their office, because they're still trying to look up and figure out exactly how to fill out those forms correctly. And CPAs get bogged down in just trying to keep you out of jail by filling out the forms correctly. They don't even go the second step often, which is, how can you pay less tax next year by actually restructuring your finances? And that's why for business owners, you know, the $5,000 or $6,000 that they end up paying is necessary, because if they didn't pay $5,000 or $6,000 to their tax preparer to actually try to figure out how to structure their businesses better, they would pay tens and twenties of thousands of dollars extra in taxes the next year.
And so if you want advice and you call up the IRS, they won't even stand by their own advice.
Now,
how do we deal with this?
Yeah, they've done studies on the IRS, and they answer questions about 50% of the time. So long as they're yes-no questions, it's about 50% of the time. And if you look at the representatives in Congress who are actually responsible for writing the tax code, very, very, very few of them actually do their own taxes. So they write the code, and yet they can't even fill out their own taxes. So I don't know what the answer is to all of that, but the tax code is not designed on purpose. It's designed in a hodgepodge of special interests. And at times I find myself agreeing with pieces of Bernie Sanders that you should just tear the whole thing down and make something simpler in its place, because the special interests are overwhelming the tax code, and it's not fair.
You know, we had a guest on yesterday, and the topic was an organization called Sunset the Tax Code, which is, I think he said they had 127 co-sponsors in the House who were signed on to this bill to essentially put a date of 2020 or 2019 on sunsetting the code, get rid of it, and the only way, once this is approved, that it can be overridden is by two-thirds, and then you have to go through. And there were various things about how the new code needs to be structured, just as far as that, you know, we try to keep the taxes down and that everyone has to pay fairly and so forth. But have we gotten to that point where we just need to blow it up? I just don't think a little quick fix or a Band-Aid is going to do any good.
I think every vote for some of the political candidates right now is a vote to blow it up. People are so frustrated and outraged that they're so angry they're not thinking clearly, because most of the candidates who are front runners don't have any Tea Party influences on them of being taxed enough already. So it's very strange to see people voting when they're just angry and they just want to destroy things and push it over and topple it over. But a full 46% of our taxation is due to corporate and personal income taxes, which were, by the way, unconstitutional until 1913. So it's not as though our country has to be taxing income. If we just taxed something simpler like taxing spending, we would eliminate the tax on productivity. We would put a tax on consumption, and that would stop. We would stop discouraging economic growth because we just tax the most productive people possible. And it would also allow us to keep our finances private. Right now, we have to divulge every dollar that we move or dollar that we make to the IRS, whereas if you just taxed spending, then every expense you had would be taxed.
Yeah, you see, that's the way they like it. You and I know that. There's a purpose in all this. They can track us and control us that way. It is 1228 here on The Shilling Show. David Murata is our guest. We're talking today about the burden of government taxation and spending. 977-1070 is the phone number, and we'd love to hear from you. Ellie stands by right now. Comments or questions, 977-1070. Shilling Show continues in a moment. As we approach the dreaded deadline of April 15th, actually this year, David told me it's April 18th. There's some arcane rule as to why that is. So you have a couple more days to hang on to your money, or maybe a couple more days for the government to hang on to your money without paying you anything for it. We're talking about the burden of government taxation and spending today. So we talk about the taxation problem, and there are so many problems with that, but we also have a spending problem. And so we just heard in the news here, David, that Senator Tim Kaine, whom I've classified as a domestic enemy for a number of reasons previously, is talking about how we need to spend more money on parks. We need to do this. And, you know, it's this attitude. Now we've got $19 trillion of debt that we know about and much, much more in some of the mandates that are coming down the line. And this guy's out there hiking in a park on our time and our dime and saying we need to spend more money here. Where's the money coming from?
Yeah, it's amazing to me that people continue to believe that if they vote the government to pay things, that it's free. And that attitude has become so pervasive that, you know, we're developing cultures that view entitlements as free money and have no desire to become independent or to show any restraint in taking it and spending it. And that's really a destructive force within our country. And it's going along with many Americans believing that tax rates should be increasingly punitive. So they need to soak the rich, and they need to hit the rich, and they need to make the rich pay more.
Yeah.
And we've gotten to the point where the top 1% pays 35% of the taxes, and that's, you know, that's definitely a problem. And the top half pays almost 97%. And that's difficult because all of that money, you know, that goes into the federal government and into the state government then employs government workers. And those government workers have a very difficult time voting against their own self-interest to continue their funding. Even though they would probably all be richer as a result, it's very difficult for a government worker to be patriotic enough to say, you know what, there is taxed enough. That is a definition. And we have passed that long ago. And we're now, you know, we're now working more for the government than we are sometimes for ourselves.
You know, what's interesting when you bring this up about people wanting to stick it to the rich, and I know there's a lot of people on the left who get the hackles up on the left side of their neck when they're hearing that. They don't believe that it's true. But I want to play for you. This is, you remember when the occupiers took over Lee Park a few years ago?
Yeah.
Somehow they weren't so offended by the statue that they were able to go there and stay for 30 days and none of them were killed by fear of the statue. But I wanted you to hear what one of the occupiers had to say, which I think makes your point exactly. This is just a short clip of one of the 99 percenters who was in Lee Park.
It's highly visible. It's on the trolley line. There's more foot traffic and vehicle traffic than there is here. More rich people that we would be sticking it to.
Okay, so this is one of the occupiers in the 99%. We want to stick it to rich people. You know, this is just what I call, it's not original with me, but what I call a useful idiot who is reaping the benefits of a semi-free market society and able to have all these things to be on bus lines and go to stores and buys what she wants. But she wants to soak it to the rich. If there were no rich, we'd all be poor.
Yeah, it's amazing to me. You know, businesses don't pay taxes any more than cars pay a car tax.
Mm-hmm.
There are only three ways that a business can pay a tax. The first is that they can pay their employees less. And we work with a number of small business owners, and if you try to make their tax rate 50% and everyone else is 25, the business owner just rearranges all the salaries so that he's still getting his fair share and everyone else is still getting their fair share, which means the 50% tax you're trying to hit on the business owner is actually just going on to the employees.
Sure.
Because the business has to pay it, and it has to pay it out of one of three things. So the first is that they can adjust wages and the employees can pay it. The second is that they can adjust prices and the customers can pay it. And the average customer is the average customer. The average customer isn't necessarily rich. Mm-hmm. In fact, most good businesses are appealing to the masses, and so the masses end up paying those taxes. And so when you tax Walmart more, then Walmart prices go up, and everyone sort of pays the cost. The third way that they can pay the taxes is they can take it out of their shareholders, which is, I think, what the intent of sticking it to the rich is. Mm-hmm. Let's stick it to the owners. But the owners in this case is all of us, as we have shares in our 401ks and our public pension funds and things like that.
The teachers, the police officers, the firefighters, the nurses.
You know, all the TIAA-CREF investments, the Fidelity investments, all the Vanguard investments end up paying that cost, and we end up paying that in lower returns, and therefore in lower money for when we retire or for lower investments. And so you can't stick it to the rich very easily unless you just want to enslave the rich and chain them and make them work in your company. I mean, it's just very difficult. And it's very un-American to even want to do that. Mm-hmm. So I think what I would try to do if I was going to try to appeal to the very strong progressives in Charlottesville is I would simply say it's mean-spirited to try to stick it to the rich. And unfortunately, what you end up doing is you end up enhancing big government. You don't end up necessarily hurting the rich. You hurt yourself more, because now the government is continually growing and growing and growing. And currently, we work for the government not just till April 15th. This year, Tax Freedom Day is on April 26th. So we're working for the government a full 31% of the year. And so that means every 8 hours that we're working a day, we're working 150 minutes for the government, and the rest of the time is for us. So, you know, maybe in if you're working for the government, maybe you're not working eight hours a day. Maybe you're only working six. And if you're working
you're getting paid for eight. You might be sleeping the other two.
And if you're working, right. If you're working as a business owner, I know you're not working 8 hours a day. You're probably working 10 or 12.
Right.
But a full 31% of that is for the government, and the remainder of it is actually something that you can use for yourself to pay your employees, to bring value to your customers, and to maybe even take home something yourself.
But David, you're missing something very important and critical here. The government is benevolent. And this is why all these people are loving Bernie and wanting him to tax everybody even more, because the government will be our benefactor, and they're so nice and caring.
Yeah, everyone who says, you know, you need all those taxes to pay for roads and schools, great. Let's pay for roads and schools. But if you look at government spending, it's a lot more than roads and schools. And in fact, if you look around Charlottesville, they do a really terrible job of taking care of roads in this mm-hmm. locality. They just don't do a very good job at the things that even libertarians would agree. Yes, that's a good thing for government to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
We've switched in this country. One of the things that I think we can all agree on is that we need a military to keep us safe.
That's mandated in the Constitution, by the way.
It's the only spending that's really mandated in the Constitution. In 1962, defense spending was 49% of the budget, and health and Social Security was 14%. You know, today, those are absolutely reversed, with 18% to defense and 48% to Social Security and Medicare, and growing rapidly. The interesting thing about our current spending is that entitlements continue to rise as a percentage of our spending. That's been true even under the 8 years of Obama. Meanwhile, defense spending and discretionary spending continue to plummet. So all of the other things that you could be doing, like roads mm-hmm. and schools, which are not entitlements, can just continue to plummet. So that's the difficulty that we have, is more government is not a more efficient government, and more government does need to be reset somehow dramatically. And I think that's the anger that you're getting in the average voter today is that they are tired of sending people to Washington and then having them continue to put into place things that go in the wrong direction and that move in the wrong direction regarding government spending or government restraint.
So speaking of that topic of restraint, and we were kind of joking earlier about Tim Kaine and the needs of the park, but I was talking yesterday to this audience about my own experience and how the people who are in government and the level that I experienced, I'm sure, is no different than any other level, are refusing to prioritize. In other words, if they would just sit down and come to an agreement as a group, even if it was a bare one-person majority, these are the things that are necessities and need to be funded first. We fund all those things, and then whatever's left over, we dole out to the other things that are wants but not needs. They refuse to participate in that exercise. No one is doing that that I'm aware of, because it takes away their discretion to hand money out to their cronies, and they can always complain they need more money.
It's true that we have very few people who are, I don't know how else to put it, but are very good at technically running the budget of a large organization and prioritizing.
Mm-hmm.
So the skills required to be elected and the skills required to actually run a good fiscal budget are just two very different skills. And one requires people skills, both for entertaining and deceiving, and the other one requires very technical honesty with making the hard prioritization decisions.
Did you say honesty?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
It did. You know, we've been thinking through just in our own financial planning the values that we have as a firm, and the number one is accuracy. You just have to be actually completely accurate about what is going on. You can't hide that at all. You can't do anything like that. You can't have a deceptive bone in your body. You need to just state exactly what the numbers are and what the plan is. And if someone doesn't have enough money, you can't be more empathetic than you are accurate. You just need to be accurate and let people know they're going to run out of money in retirement, or they're not going to meet their retirement goals or something like that. That's the number one thing. Or here's what the markets have done, and you just need to be completely accurate. So, I think the kinds of things that are good in economics and in financial planning just don't make good decisions when you're trying to run for office and you have to parse your words and you have to say things that have very little meaning but appeal to people. They call those P.T. Barnum statements. Uh-huh. Is, you know, you like having fun and you know who your friends are and you know who you know, it's all these kind of horoscope statements.
Meaningless.
Yeah, meaningless statements. We need to, all the different various sound bites. If I start picking and choosing, I'm just going to show which candidates I think are ridiculous.
977-1070 is a phone number. We have one segment left with David Marotta. We're talking about the burden of government taxation and spending. When we come back on the other side, I want to talk about some of the different taxes that you're paying that you may not even realize, but they're there nonetheless. And if they were all added up and totaled and put before you, you might have a very different reaction than you do when you're just not very aware of what they add up to. It's 12:46 here on The Shilling Show, News Radio 1070, 98.9 FM, WINA. David Marotta, our guest here, the final segment of this hour with him on the burden of government taxation and spending, and we have callers on the line. So without further ado, let's go to the phones and say hello to Gary. Hank, hold on. We'll get to you in just a moment. Hey, Gary, welcome to The Shilling Show. You're on with David Marotta.
Thanks very much, Rob. I had a question for Dave. I look back. I'm retired. I look back and wonder how much money was taken out of my checks over my career and my spouse's for Social Security and those kind of things. And I wondered, I guess, if there's a website or someplace a person could calculate how much that was over their careers, and if they had that money then, or if they were given a lump sum of what it amounted to now, could they calculate how much they could have made had they had the freedom to invest it themselves at the going market rates? And I'll just hang up and listen to the answer.
Gary, thanks very much. David?
Yeah, Gary, we actually did that analysis on Social Security, in general terms, and determined that even at modest incomes, $40,000, $50,000 a year, we'd all be retiring as multimillionaires. It's absolutely amazing how much Social Security has sucked out. If you make more than that, then your return on Social Security can actually go negative because the money that they've taken from you will be more than they'll ever pay back in your lifetime. It is still possible. It's the door is closing, but it is still possible for a young person today. It's true for all young people. It's just not sure it's going to save Social Security. But for a young person today, if they took half their money from Social Security and they just burned it in Social Security to pay for all the baby boomers. And they took the other half and they put it in a privatized account. At the end of their working career, if you were to offer them Social Security or what's in their private account, they would all take the private account. Because with half of Social Security payments, you can actually fund a retirement that's better than Social Security. This is the option that's been proposed for privatizing Social Security. Is half of it they'll never collect on. It's just given to the baby boomers. The other half is put into their account, and then at the end of the time period, they have a choice: Social Security or they can have their private account, and they'll all take the private account because it's true we would all be millionaires. And instead, we're all impoverished on Social Security, which doesn't even go up by inflation every year. It goes up by a little bit less than inflation because of the way they compute inflation.
Let's go back to the phones and say hello to Hank. Hank, you're on with David Murata.
Well, back to the sticking it to the man philosophy, what a lot of people fail to realize, and it's not surprising that the government doesn't want to discuss this because it's the serpent eating its own tail. But you take a person who's making $10 an hour, oh, that devilish employer is so stingy and snotty and greedy, what the worker doesn't see when he looks at his check. He may be making $10 an hour, but because of the FICA and all the other taxes and all the other little instrumentals that the federal government has added in, that employer is already paying that worker $17 an hour, roughly. So if you take someone who's making $15, is there any wonder you're going to go to automated robots at McDonald's?
It's true. There's three things that are the American worker costs too much and the American soil costs too much. So there's three things that are pushing the world right now, and one is automation. And one is Asia, and you can outsource there for a lot less expensive. And so, you know, you can go to a McDonald's in the middle of Kansas, and the person on the other end of the line, you know, might be in India because they speak better English and they're better trained and they can get the order put in right. And the person who's flipping the burgers in the McDonald's won't be. They'll be on site, but the person who's actually taking your order could very well be in another country because the trunk lines there are less expensive to have a service doing that, that's the difficulty with continually making American workers more and more expensive.
So the emperor has no clothes, you know, mandating some higher wage, which is nice in a slogan, really is meaningless and continues to be destructive to the American economy. So when are people going to wake up? What's it going to take?
I don't know the answer to that, and if I did, I could win the presidency, because that, you know, that I think that's what it takes, and people are angry, but they're not always thoughtful when they're angry. Mm-hmm. You know, my favorite presidential quote is, "An economy hampered by restrictive taxes will never produce enough revenues to balance our budget, just as it will never produce enough jobs or profits." You know, that's a person I would vote for, but that's John F. Kennedy. You know, John F. Kennedy was a supply sider. He understood the terrible destructive attitudes of sticking it to the rich. We had a top tax rate of 91%, and Kennedy lowered it to 70. He was decried as giving tax cuts to the rich, and he said this will stimulate the economy. And sure enough, tax revenues increased. Reagan reduced it from 70% down to 50%. He was again decried of giving tax cuts to the rich. But revenues soared again. Had we kept our spending in check with a Democratic Congress under Reagan, we would have had balanced budgets and everything would have been fine. But Reagan could never overcome the Democratic Congress that continually just sent budget after budget, which was unmanageable and expanding continually.
That's going to do it for this hour with David Murata. He's online at muratahonmoney.com. And by the way, Blue Spade writes in, enjoying this segment. If only I'd heard your guest sooner, I could have had a V8 smacks forehead. Okay. David, thanks so much. A great hour. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
All right, that's good to wrap this hour, but we come back on the other side with open phones. And also coming up in hour number two, Laura Carno. Government ruins nearly everything. And Jason Biocchi, Albemarle County School Board in the Rivanna District, we're going to be talking about the coming bond resolution and referendum in Albemarle County. Oh, I can't wait to pay more taxes. Isn't that patriotic to pay more taxes? The Shilling Show will be back after this, 977-1070.